was kind of brought off. It's an offshoot of the message from this morning. I'm sitting here, God has given me a quick message download right there during that last song. I'm trying to worship and listen to the song, and God's trying to talk to me. So sometimes I'll turn around and look, and like, is anybody else getting a word? God gave me, I'll let y'all look behind the curtain just for a minute as you're going to Matthew chapter 25, verse 14. God said, you remember in the Old Testament when David and Solomon were reigning as kings? And I said, yeah, Lord, I remember. We were having this conversation right here a second ago, so I said, yeah, Lord, I remember. He said, remember when Solomon was reigning as king because David had passed him down a great kingdom? And I said, yeah. And he said, okay, remember, I handed him off such a wonderful thing. You know what was not going on? There were no wars. There were no sickness. There was no enemies. There was literally no fear. Everybody in the country worshipped me and leaned towards me, and they had one king and very limited to no enemies, right? And then Solomon was raised up through King David, and Solomon's name literally comes down from the root word of peace, right? So God gave him, because David was faithful and a man after God's heart, he gave him a son who would reign in total peace, right? Well, then after that, they began to worship false idols, false groves, false high places. Then they started replacing and then looking to other gods and calling on other gods. That happened at the end of Solomon's reign. And then all of a sudden you start seeing the kings that come after him. And guess what happened? It spurned the activity of higher amount of enemy, higher amount of sickness, and depravity. The reason, I guess, the Lord really pressed it on my heart, he said, change the name of 1 Kings, 2 Kings, or 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles to the lineage of America. And if you put yourself there, we have seen the decay of our leadership, but leadership is only a representation of the people. You want to put that down. No matter what kind of, if you have a church, you have the America, wherever the leader is only, it's a culmination of the people, right? Usually. Okay? So anyway. So then the last thing, God's kind of funny. I don't know if y'all know that, like when you hear the Spirit of God, it's kind of funny. He said, you know how dumb people are? I said, yeah, kinda. He said, dumb people would think it's more important for older people to live longer and to destroy the next generation. It was a simple analogy. God said, I said in the Word of God that the fruit of the womb and the fruit of the loins are a arrow in the quiver. A blessed man has many arrows in the quiver, right? He said a dumb nation and a dumb people will look in the future to draw out an arrow that is not in the quiver. When we sacrificed our children for ourselves, we'll want a young generation to come up behind us, but when we reach to pull them out to do the jobs that we no longer can do, they won't be there. Because we have sacrificed them on the name of, you know what, I want a career, I want a thing, I want this, and I'll destroy my child to promote myself. That happens millions and millions and millions of times. But if you, just a basic thing, our military, the military might of this United States of America is made up from 18-year-olds to 25-year-olds. All right. That's me and God just having a conversation right there. I thought y'all might wanted to hear it. Amen. So I tell you, God, he don't mind to butt in and do what he wants to do when he wants to do it. I don't know what it means. I'll do some refining on it. So let's go to Matthew chapter 25, verse 14. Y'all want to get in the Word? Y'all want to? I want to be challenged. There's one part on this is where I really wanted to teach from, and God kind of brought it to me. But we'll do the whole thing, and if it brings about the fruit of repentance, unto salvation, great. If it just brings us to a place that we can say, amen, that's good, and learn from it, great. So Matthew 25, verse 14 says, for the kingdom of heaven is a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. Underline that word goods right there. That's money, okay? That's money in this parable. This is all red letter. This is Jesus speaking to us through many parables. Parables have a spiritual connotation, spiritual meaning to them. They're analogies, but they have a spiritual meaning, so a spiritual weight to them. And these parables have a great weight to them, because you ultimately understand Jesus teaches at the very end of this parable, beginning into the next parable, that there's a judgment coming. All right, so these parables, if we understand them through the Spirit and understand them through the Word of God, we understand He's trying to get you to understand whether you are a goat or a sheep. To basically break down to, are you saved or are you lost? Are you a child of God or are you a child of Satan? All right, that's exactly what He's trying to get you to. It's not that hard, but I want you to understand this. Goods, money in this situation would be an understanding of what you use your talents, gifts, and abilities to do to earn money, and that money would represent your time, your talent, and your ability. Amen. I know this is unpopular, and in 2022, it's probably not a very good place to preach from, but there are some people who gained wealth probably by inheritance or it was passed down, but most of the time, all that time, somewhere in that family or somewhere in that lineage, somebody had gifts, talents, and abilities and done a lot of great things and made a lot of great choices to acquire financial wealth. Amen? All right? Because when you run into somebody, well, he's got a bunch of money, or he's got a bunch of land, or he's got a bunch of cars, or whatever. Well, a lot of times that comes from sacrificing, hard work, tough decisions, doing what you have to do to get what you want, right? Doing without what you want where you can have what you want. I'm not trying to do a financial class. I'm just trying to tell you that money, a lot of times, if you'll get right down to it, money is a direct correlation of your time and effort. You don't even realize on how to spend money until you get to about the age of 30 or 35. I know when I was about 18, 17, 16, I could take $100. If somebody gave me $100, I could take that $100 and blow it on anything. But now I could look at $100 and I go, man, that's a day's work. I don't know if that's a proper exchange for a day's work for that. Whatever that is, right? Are y'all with me? Well, what he was saying here is, I'm giving my value to my servants. It's a direct correlation. God gives His value to us. He lends us. He lends us time. Okay? That's a representation. These goods or this money is given to you. It's a representation of your time. All right? Verse 15, and unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway he took his journey. I like that part. God knows you. God ain't going to give you nothing or no more than you're capable. Whew. Some of y'all need, that ain't a slight. That's not a bad thing. If you get less talents than somebody, work what you got. Work with what you got, amen? I've come to understand I'm not as talented as some people, not as gifted as some people, but praise God, what talent or ability or gift God has given, I'll work it with what I got, amen? I'm gonna give it everything I got with that one or that 2 talents, right? If that person got 5 talents, work, hey, let them go, right? I love that. The person with 1 talent, the person with 2 talents, the person with 5 talents. But God knows you. I'm glad that. Somebody write that down. Make a note right there. God knows you. Stop comparing yourself to somebody else. Comparison is a thief. It'll steal your joy. That's where most people get it messed up anyway. They look into their left and right, comparing themselves to other people, and especially other believers, on what they're doing or not doing. And a lot of times we don't even get to see the real story. Right, we don't even get to see the real story till it's over about what they really were like. I mean, I love that when I'm reading the scriptures, I always look at it. You know, just like the little woman that come in there and was worshiping Jesus right before the crucifixion. And Judas was one of the biggest critics of that. Right? Why was this waste made? Man, if she would have listened to him and compared herself to him, man, he's an apostle. He's walking with Jesus every day. And man, he thinks this is a bad idea for me to break the alabaster box and worship Jesus. He thinks that's a bad idea. Maybe I should stop. Maybe I should just quit. But you know what? She doesn't consider that. She said, this is my talent, this is my gift, and I'm going to give it to Jesus to the best of my ability. And come to find out, Judas didn't love Jesus. I guarantee there's going to be a lot of people who don't make it into heaven because they came to church and they considered everybody else, but they weren't considering God. They were considering their friends. They were considering what it looked like if they surrendered. They were surrendering. Oh, man, what do they think? I have seen, this is countless, I have seen people, total strangers, get invited to this church or somewhere where we're speaking. They came as a boyfriend, a girlfriend, or just an invite, and they'll come, and they'll fall under great conviction and don't know what to do with it. They'll sit there and they'll look. You can see them sometimes. I remember just recently, this is kind of fresh, but there was one, a young guy came and he was sitting right over here. And every time he's come, he's never paid attention. Never wanted to be in. One Sunday, he was just like he was in a tractor beam. Just totally leaned in. Totally listening. Totally listening to what God was doing, right? So you know what we did? At the end of the service, I went to him and I was like, hey man, keep coming back. Keep coming back. That'll work if you'll let it. He's like, he's looking at me like, how, what'd you know? But you just know when God's working. Don't consider these other people. You don't consider, well man, I'm telling you right now, if I really blow up with God right here, it can make me look foolish. Yeah, it can make you look foolish, or you can get saved and live for Christ. And at the end of this life, your life will not be foolish. It'll be an amazing life. But he knows you. I'm glad he knows me. Amen. And I'm glad he knows you too. Verse 16. Then he that received the five talents went and traded with the same and made them other five talents. He took it and made five more talents. He took it and worked it and traded and moved and functioned with that and multiplied it. And likewise, he that had received two, he also gained another two. Ain't that amazing? The guy that had five and the guy had two, they both multiplied it equal. And I love the parable. It never looks at one and said, man, I wish the two was more like the five or the five was more like the two. They just worked what they had. And they came with exactly what they had. They five and five, two and two. What I'm trying to tell you is this right here. Whatever's God give you, if you'll work with it, it'll multiply itself. There'll be fruit there. There'll be something more there than you started with. I remember when I first started going with God. I remember when I first started with God. I remember when the earliest, I want you to speak. I want you to preach. I'm sort of going, God, I don't know nothing. Don't you have anybody that's been in this longer, done it better? Don't you have anybody that's way ahead of me? But that burning kept calling, and I was like, this is what I want. And when I look in there, I could see between the lines in a story. I could see things. I'm like, there's something. I see a story in it. Yeah, just tell that. Just say that. Okay, all right, Lord. And that just builds upon itself. Whatever it is God's given you. And there's more talent than preaching and teaching. There's organization. There's administrational gifts. There's engineering type mindsets. I mean, man, you can do, there are a lot of things. I remember there were so many guys in ministry when I was coming up that worked at Providence Ministries. And man, there were people that were in the maintenance side of Providence Ministries. And I've always had my eyes on Brother Roy, and I was always looking at him like, man, that guy right there is who I want to be. That he's more of my gear. He's a speaker. He's a teacher. He's a leader. But you know what? He stood up. That one of the men passed away in the ministry who was a maintenance guy. And he said, this is one of the greatest men that we ever had in this ministry.
The guy didn't even have hardly any education at all. Nobody hardly knew his name. I can't even remember his name right now. I was early in the ministry when he passed away. But you know what? He was over the maintenance crew. His two sisters came to the funeral, and they were really well off, and he was kind of like the black sheep of the family because he had had some drug problems. He had to come to Providence. But once he got through those drug problems, he became the head maintenance guy there. And Roy said something that stuck in my mind ever since then. He said, man, this gentleman right here, I'm the owner founder. I'm the founder of this ministry. I'm the president of this ministry. And guess what? I speak in a lot of places and do a lot of things. He said, but this gentleman laying right here before you, his fingerprints are literally on everything in this ministry. Every air conditioned duct, everything we own, his hands are on it. And without him, nothing will be running. He's one of the most important people in our ministry, or was. So, I mean, golly bum, you can't just look at it and say, well, we'll look at the mouth and say, man, that's a great gift. Praise God, there's so many other gifts that are more important in the body, just in your physical body. Your heart and your brain and your lungs are way more important. Your mouth, if your mouth stops working, you sit there and go, thank God the old pumper's still going, right? Amen, thank God I can still think. There's a lot more to it. Maybe they can fix it, but if they don't, you're still operating. Thank you. That's good. Likewise, he that had received two, he also gained another two. Verse 18, but he that received one went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. That was the weird thing. Every time I read this parable and I got looking at it, I'm thinking, why did he go put it in the ground for? A lot of times they didn't have a lot of means, but you know what you think? How many times has God given us talents, gifts, and abilities, and we bury them, and they end up becoming dead like dead things? Amen? Have you ever watched somebody who is real talented and real gifted early in life and just throw it all away, and the gifts end up being dead? I've watched so many people have musical talent and thinkers, and all of a sudden you meet them 5 and 10 years later, and you're like, man. They waste. It's gone, right? That gift's gone. Well, he dug it down, here's kind of what I'm trying to go at. This is where the Lord really wanted me to turn the curve tonight for you guys as we were teaching. But he that had received one went and digged it in the Lord and hid the Lord's money. 19, after a long time, the Lord of the servants cometh and reckoneth with him. 19, it's not as long as you think it is, right? Life is not as long as you think it is. Some of y'all sit here right now, you could amen right there every once in a while when you think about that. Everybody in this room got old as you are faster than you thought you was going to be there. Okay, yeah. You say, man, I can't believe I'm this. I can't believe I'm that. And then sometimes, don't you do this? I hope I'm not the only one, and I'm not speaking out of context, but don't you ever do this? In your mind, you think you're younger than your body is. All right, okay, good. I thought I was on the same line. And you think you might be able to do some things that you used to do, and so when you're going to do those things, all of a sudden your body is saying no, and your mind's saying go, and your mind has to get online with your body, and you come to this real weird revelation in your life. You're like, I can't. No, I can't do that. This has happened a few times just in the last. I'm gonna grab that. How come that thing's further away than it was a second ago? I'm going to get it. And nothing's happening. Right? And then somebody will look at you. Why didn't you grab that? I was like, in here I was. I mean, I was running and bending, grabbing, pulling. But you know what? In reality, I can't. I ain't going to. All right? Time is not as long as you think it is, but guess what? There's going to be a time where everybody in this room is going to be standing before God before too long. That's a reality. It's going to come faster than you know. Our lives, we've got a lot of memories and a lot of thoughts and a lot of things happen, but God has given us these talents, these gifts, and this ability, and He has lent us this time, but that time will come to an end, and we will stand before God. And we'll reckon with God about what we did with these lives. In verse 20, And so he that had received five talents came and brought other five talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me five talents. Behold, I have gained besides them five talents more. Verse 20, this is where I'm really going to teach. I want to put the gears down or the plows down right here. Notice what the good servant said, the guy with five talents. Notice what how he responds. Lord, the talents you gave me, I've multiplied them and I've gave them more. Here they are, right? He does not describe. He does not talk about God or Jesus. He talks about what he received and who he received it from and what he did with it. Man, you might want to write this down. This is really good stuff. This will help you. When we stand before God as faithful servants of God, we'll recognize him as God and Lord, and we'll just simply say, this is what I did with what I had. That's good, ain't it? Have you ever noticed when you do things right, you don't have to make any excuses, any stories, you don't have to, you don't add or take away from any of it. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Whew, glory to God. It's a good response. Ain't it? We understand we're saved by our faith in Jesus Christ and what he did at Calvary. We're not saved by works, but we should look to this. Whatever God's given us after we've been born again and saved, we should take every opportunity that we have given to us and use it to his honor and to glory to multiply his kingdom. Well, he's standing there and he goes, that well done. Don't you want to hear that? I want to hear that. I know he's talking mainly about Jesus when he's talking about the sacrifice for my sin, but I don't want to just stand there empty-handed and say, God, you saved me, thank you, I'm going to get in by the skin of my teeth. You saved me, story of a life that had nothing to do with God, we enter into heaven, thank you, Jesus. I want to say, God, I did, I probably didn't do everything I needed to do. I want to say, God, I took a little bit of talent you gave me and I done something with it. We done something with it. It didn't save my soul, but my gosh, I was grateful, right? And the joy of the Lord. You're going, man, do y'all see a character right there? Do y'all see a character? What is God full of right there? He's full of joy. Man, you're going to be in heaven. You're going to spend time with God in full joy. Good Lord, that's good. He also that received two talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me two talents. Behold, I have gained two other talents besides them. Once again, Lord, you're Lord. You gave me the talents. You gave me the things that you bestowed unto me. I done this with them. Here they are. Ain't that good? Simple, precise, who they are. Man, this is good. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. It's a simple process. Whatever God gives you, man, use it to the honor and glory of God, to grow in the kingdom of God, and stand before God one day and let him speak to your life. This is where it gets good. This is where it gets interesting to me, because I run into this a lot in this world. Then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, do y'all see this yet? Do y'all see it yet? Watch this right here. The person who did the least is going to have a long conversation with a God he didn't even know. Ain't it funny that people that don't know Jesus and don't know God have no idea what his character's like? Amen? Have no idea. They mischaracterize God all the time. Lord, here, this is so sweet. I knew, right, thee, and thou art a hard man. I knew. No, you didn't. I know who God is. He's the big scorekeeper in the sky. He's expecting me to do so much. He wants more out of me. He demands. Guys, don't skip. I'm a terrible, terrible deliverer of this, but let me give it to you. Watch this right here. Let me go back. Lord, I knew thee, that thou art a hard man. What a weird way to start that conversation. God just freely gave him a gift. He hid the gift, and he says, I know who you are. You're a hard man. Can I tell you this? God's not a hard man. God's not a, he's not, he didn't, he totally missed his character right there. God loves him. God's full of joy. These other two gentlemen, these other two people, they joyfully just served the Lord. They took their talent and used it. They weren't out there going, man, if we don't do this, God's really, because I want to do, I love, ain't it amazing when you truly get born again and saved and fall in love with Jesus, you get to do a lot of things, you don't have to do a lot of things. I remember when I got saved, man, I thought, God, I still run into some people like this every once in a while. They're taking score. You did. Praise God. I don't have to do any. I want to. There's some things that if you told me before 2004, you're going to have to do these things, I would have not only panicked, I'd have been like, I don't want to do that. I'll just give you one example. Preach anybody's funeral. No. No, thank you. Before getting saved, before I understand who God was, if somebody said, hey, tomorrow, would you come and speak at the funeral? I'm like, no. No, no. And I'm probably not going to show up. I'm just being honest. It would have to be a close family member for me to show up at a funeral home. They're not cool places to hang out. They're still not. After you get saved, it has been one of the greatest, highest honors to speak for certain people and to speak for certain families on their behalf. I ain't going to say I look forward to the call, but I have known when certain people have passed away that they might ask, and when my phone rings, I pick it up and I say it would be the highest honor to speak on their behalf. Because God's good. Amen? I get to. And that's just one thing. There's so many other things I can explain. God is not a hard. He didn't know God. He thought he knew, but he didn't know. He didn't know. Thank you. I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid. Verse 25, you might want to underline that one in a big way. I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. Now here's yours, what was already yours. You know what he said? I was afraid. I was fearful. But was he? Think about it. Really, was he really fearful of God? Or was he really fearful of serving what God given him? Amen? He lived in fear. And he didn't do what God wanted him to do. When you operate for God, you don't operate out of fear, out of anger, out of frustration. You operate out of joy and peace and love. And man, is it overwhelming. Amen? And is it overwhelming? And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent. Let's go back. I'm not going to get off this. I'm going to teach this out. Listen. People who don't know Jesus mischaracterize Jesus. They do. Let me ask you this question. Are you afraid of Jesus? Are you afraid of Jesus? Were you afraid of Jesus at one time? Right? The fear of God brought you to a place of repentance, and then when you got saved, he became your heavenly Father, your Savior, the love of your life. You understand what I'm saying now? Some of you, when I ask that question, are you afraid of Jesus? Some of y'all got spiritual and went, well, maybe a little. What's the correct answer? The correct answer is, when I was a sinner, I feared him because he had control of my salvation, or my eternal life. That is still something he holds, but I rest in his hand now. But it's like my father, or it's like your father or your mother. Yes, when you're doing wrong, it's good to fear, right? Okay, when you've taken the car without permission, when you're 14 years old, and you've drove it down to your friend's house who's 14 years old, and you've rode around all day in the car, right? Because your mom's out of town, and nobody's going to know, right? But you slightly bump into a small tree. And you don't think it's much damage at all because you're dumb. And you're sitting on the hood of the car like you own the car, but you don't. And somebody looks at you and says, man, where'd that big old dent come from? What are you talking about? Right by your leg, there's a huge dent in the front of the car. Oh, that's where I hit the tree. I have to leave now. I drive back home, park the car in an obscure way that you can't see the front end of the car. Then I call my loving father who lives, my mom and dad were separated, so I call my loving father. And I said, Dad, I would love to come spend the rest of the weekend with you. I'm tired of being home alone. So my loving father comes and picks me up at my home, and he said, I cannot believe this. Out of the whole time since 8, now I'm 13, 14 years old, you've never wanted to just come and spend the weekend with me. This is awesome. Yes, it is, Father. I didn't know that I just left the female lion, and now I'm riding down the road with the lion. Like a dummy. Okay, my dad could whoop a whole lot harder than my mom. I'm riding down the road with him, and I'm going to his house, and I get to playing and hanging out with my friends over there, and I'm having a good time. And then all of a sudden, about 9 o'clock, 9:30, I had a bad time, and I'm going in there getting ready, and all of a sudden I hear my dad, hey, Kevin, come up here. Oh, what could it be? Father? Hey, your mom's on the phone. She wants to talk to you. I'm tired. I don't even know if I really want to talk on the telephone. Hey, Mom, did you drive the car any this weekend? What are you talking about? She said, I pulled out in the car and I had to go get the mail out of the mailbox since I've been gone. And I noticed there's a large dent in the front of the car. And where it was parked, I wouldn't have seen it. And I could have drove it down to the store and thought somebody had rear-ended me or something like that. But I noticed, did you drive the car? And I'm like, and I'm sitting there thinking in my mind, that's exactly what I wanted you to do. Drive it to work. Drive it to town. Blame it on somebody else. She goes, you wrecked the car, didn't you, Kevin? I'm like, yeah, I was moving it around the driveway. I was going to wash it for you. She goes, when I left, it was on a full tank. It's on empty. Yeah, I ran into the tree and drove it to Conasauga and drove it all day. That was really dumb of me. I'm sorry. Oh, you're going to be sorry. Hand the phone back to your dad. This was a dumb idea. I should have stayed at home. My dad said, okay, all right, okay, all right. And then he went over to the door where hung all the belts. It's a terrible story. The end is just terrible. You don't want to hear about it. It was child abuse. It was severe child abuse. But that's how I wasn't afraid because my father loved me and would have gave his life for me. My father and my mother would have gave their lives for me. But once I got out of their will and started lying and manipulating, stealing and hurting them and hurting their stuff, they have to punish me. That's why you live in fear of God when you don't know him. You mischaracterize him. Verse 26, his Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sow not and gather where I have not strowed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received my own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have an abundance, but from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And they cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, therefore shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now this is eternal judgment. And you say, man, that's a heavy price. It's not a heavy price for what he did or didn't do with the talents. It was a heavy price because he didn't know God as his Savior. He didn't take the time, the gifts, and abilities that God had given him and use them appropriately because he was in an appropriate relationship with God. Amen? When you get in an appropriate relationship with God, everything he's given you, you will weave into working for the kingdom of God, ultimately. You will find ways to use what God's given you to glorify God. Does that make sense to you? Guys, the reason I'm talking about this is when you're ministering to people who are lost, when you are out there in this community, in this world, and you're going to talk to somebody, somebody's going to start talking about God, and they're going to say Jesus. They're going to say salvation. They're going to say some things. But they're going to start talking about God, the one whom you love and the one who's the lover of your soul. And you're going to be sitting there listening to them. You're going to be like, well, no, that's not. You've got God wrong. He's not angry. He's not mad. He's not hateful. He's not hurtful. He is just against sin. And if you would repent and turn from that, then he would gladly receive you, give you the things that you need to operate for him. And he knows where you're coming from. And he knows where you've been. And he can use your life just as much as he can use anybody's. But you've mischaracterized him. He's not a hard man. He's not somebody to be afraid of because he wants to destroy you. You should be afraid because you're destroying yourself. And he's came to seek and to save that which is lost. He's come to save you. Matter of fact, the one that you're scared of and the one that you call a hard man is the only one that gave you an opportunity to be saved. He's the only way out of this. So maybe you should rethink that. So I'm giving you hopefully a tool on your tool belt when you're talking to somebody who mischaracterizes God. You can come back at them and say, not in a fighting way, but look and say, wait a minute, you just don't know him. You know of him, and you have an idea of him. But if you ever know him, you will be in love with him and know he's in love with you. And then you could say something like this, he already loves you because he's demonstrated that because he's already died for you. And while you were yet enemies, Christ died for you and he's drawing you unto him. You can say something like this, because I'm standing here talking to you, you need to get this confidence about yourself. Because me and you are standing here talking, I know God doesn't put me in presence of anybody, and we start talking about God, that I ain't here to tell you something to help you get saved. I said this, and I used this analogy one time with these two guys. Y'all probably heard this story, if it's okay, and I'll end right here. This guy calls me one time and says, will you go by and see my friends? I don't know if they were related to him somehow, but they're in the hospital. And he needs to be saved. He's sick. He's dying. And I'm like, yeah. I was young in the faith. I just charged to every fire and went to every fight. Didn't know. So I went down to the hospital and I walked in. And these two guys were in there watching Monday Night Wrestling. And I thought they were wrestling. I mean, they were they're screaming and cussing each other back and forth. I was out in the hallway. And now, listen, I went down there. I'm thinking, this guy's dying. Right? He's on the end of his life. So I look at the nursing station. I was like, is this so-and-so? I'm like, that's him. I mean, they're in there like cuss fighting and yelling and screaming. Well, I open the door, and this guy's leaned up on the edge of the bed. Big swath or cotton ball head, And his son's sitting over on the thing, or whoever it was is with him, and they're watching, screaming and hollering and yelling at the TV. I walk in and say, hey, guys. And they're like, hey. Turns the TV and goes, what are you doing here? I said, your uncle or so-and-so sent me down here. Said you was really sick, maybe unto death. He goes, yeah, I'm dying. I'm like, all right. I come by to pray for you. I'll take all the prayers I can get. And then the Spirit of God showed up. I said, I'm not down here by no mistake. I said, you. If you're that close to death, and if you don't know no better, y'all need Jesus. And y'all need him in a big way. Man, I just shared the gospel with him and prayed with him and left. Praise God, you never go anywhere by accident. You're never talking to anybody by happenstance. If you're there, God is letting you sow and water into somebody's life. Let's all stand.